I hope you're ready for this. Oh, I hope
no,
you're ready.
No, you're going to say something to annoy me, aren't you?
Oh, I hope you're ready for this.
Oh, crap. Okay, go ahead.
I need to get the smile off my face now.
You're going to get that sound of me hanging up on you on Skype. That's what you're going to hear.
Whoop, whoop. Actually, that was more like a cop
car. I'm so tempted to do that now, too. For comedic value.
Oh, man.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Welcome, everybody! Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck! It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Coach Dan. How's it going, man?
Not too bad. How you doing?
I am doing good. The Capitals are back. I'm going to say right now, in between shows, I missed hockey so much. I don't know how we're going to do this in the summer, but just that week of no hockey and these guys having a break really wore me down. But it was fun watching some of the All-Star stuff. But Ovechkin, I got to say, I don't know if anyone else in the NHL thinks this, but I think the dude stole the show at the All-Star break. I found him and his antics hilarious the whole weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the guy certainly knows how to put on a show, and there's no question about that. He loves being in front of the spotlight, and it works out well for him. It works out well for the Capitals because certain players like Nicholas Backstrom, who are, you know, almost as good, if not as good as Ovechkin, don't really care about getting the spotlight. So it sort of works out for everybody in the end. You know, he didn't mind being in front of the camera. He may have had a little help in terms of being in front of the camera on Friday at the draft. But aside from that, the guy loves being in front of the camera. He likes having fun. He likes putting on a show. Personally, I thought he should have won the skills competition, but hometown crowd gave it to Ryan Johansson, so whatever. But no, I mean, the whole thing is a lot of fun. I think the skills competition and the Saturday night sort of stuff is more interesting than the game. I mean, the game has some nice plays and things like that, but it's just kind of no one plays defense. The goalies aren't trying to get hurt. They're goofing around to some extent, and so it's, you know, it is what it is.
I was talking with a friend at work about this and how, like, I watched the draft, I watched the skills competition, but I didn't watch any of the All-Star game because it really doesn't matter. And he was talking about how, you
it's
know...
It's not interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he brought
and up... those jerseys. Like, okay, the Caps winner classic ones were, like, bad, and then I saw them, like, okay, they're still bad, but they're, like, they're okay. They're not that bad when you see them on. The All-Star jerseys were, like, okay, those are horrible. And then you saw them on the players, you're, like, yeah, still horrible, still bad, don't like them.
But my buddy at work was talking about how, you know, when you have an All-Star game in baseball, the winner, whether it be East or West, you know, gets, like, home field advantage in the World Series to start.
No, I know where you're going. Don't do it.
I'm just saying, like, hockey needs to do something like that, like make that All-Star game mean something. I don't know what that particularly is, because like it's a seven game, you know, it's a seven game series. I don't know what they should do, but I feel as if they need to add something to get people to stay tuned the whole weekend and watch the game, because I'm an avid hockey lover. I could care less. I didn't watch it.
See, but here's the problem with that and with Major League Baseball as well, is that it should not home field advantage should not come down to something you cannot control. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go out there and play your you-know-what off for the entire season, you end up with the best record in the regular season, and then you end up in the Stanley Cup Final or the World Series or wherever it may be, it shouldn't come down to, you know, maybe two or three of your players being on a team that controlled whether you had home field advantage or not. And I don't know if it would make a difference in the NHL. If anything, it shouldn't be that way, just because you don't want players playing like super hard or extra tough in the All-Star game, because you don't want them getting hurt. Right now, what would happen if they were playing that kind of game and Ovechkin gets hurt blocking a shot because he thinks that the Caps have a chance to get to the finals and he wants to give them home ice advantage? Then you don't have him the rest of the season potentially, or for, you know, a couple of weeks or a couple of games or something like that. And so I would prefer the All-Star game in all the sports just sort of be a spectacle of the game and more fun than anything else. And I think the NHL does it the right way as best they can.
by making it all about being fun. The NFL All-Star Game or the Pro Bowl is just stupid. They should just go out and do, like, the skills competition stuff. What was it, the punt, pass, and kick, or whatever the hell that thing is called? And just do that and put that on TV, and that would be a lot of fun. But the rest of it, no one cares. The Pro Bowl is the worst game. But the All-Star Game is boring, but it is what it is. It's kind of fun to watch because you get to see a lot of offensive skill out there, and the guys are goofing around, and it's fun. And I prefer that over it mattering and somebody getting hurt. I mean, that's the worst thing for baseball. And if you have a pitcher out there who's going to, you know, let's say they go into extra innings, now they're going to have to keep playing, and you got one of your guys going 4, 5, 6 innings when he doesn't need to in a game that doesn't necessarily matter.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up some very good points. I see where you're coming from that. I don't know. I liked it to just mean something. I don't know what that would be. Or maybe
if you want to make it mean, see, the problem with making it mean something is that you run the risk of injury so much. And that was like the whole thing with the Olympics and the NHL. The owners didn't want to have the players go because they didn't want their guys getting hurt. And that matters. You know, the Olympics matters to them because the guys want a medal, whether it's a bronze, silver, or gold. And so to have these guys out there playing in an all-star game, which really shouldn't mean anything other than just showing off the sport to not just the fans, but people that aren't fans of the sport, trying to bring them in as well, whether it's in the city that the game is being played in or the events are being played in or on television, you got to make it interesting. But you don't want your guys getting hurt because if – let's say you have one of your star players there and he gets hurt and comes back and he's not playing and you miss the playoffs because of that, because he wasn't out there scoring goals for you. How's that going to look? How's that going to feel? I mean, you know, just because of a stupid all-star game.
Yeah, you bring up some good points. I definitely see where you're coming from that.
Maybe we'll make it interesting. Maybe, I mean, you can maybe like put money on it. You know, the team that comes out, the winner gets a bonus or something. You know, they get an extra – I don't know.
Well, what if you held it overseas? You know how they started the seasons a couple years ago, you know, over in Europe? What if, like, you had the All-Star Game from London or something like that?
See, I don't think that's going to be a big attraction. But it's an interesting idea. See, what I kind of want to – I don't want to see that either because my whole thing is I just don't want anybody getting hurt. But I think I always want to kind of want to see – I want to see the team that wins the Stanley Cup play against the team that wins the whatever it's called – in the KHL, their cup. And I want to see those two teams play against each other to see really who's better kind of thing. So you could have like all our all-stars versus their all-stars. That would be something interesting, a potential thing. But then I think you run the risk of guys in one league or the other potentially making runs at people to try and injure them.
Yeah.
And then you could do it after the season kind of a thing. So that
– Well, they kind of already do that in a way with Worlds, but – It's on a
No. We don't do it by league, not by country.
Yeah.
And now, like, after the Stanley Cup Finals is over. But then again, you want these guys to rest, and then they're playing. It's, you know.
Yeah. There's a lot to take in there.
NHL screw with everything else. Leave the All-Star Game alone.
I do want to bring you up during that.
The draft thing was cool. They sort of started that. Isn't the NFL doing that now?
Oh, the NFL stole that idea.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Completely stole it.
And now, yeah, the NFL has completely stolen it. But it's a good idea. Keep with that, and if let me
just say this:
All-Star Game, you make 3 small nets, so no goalies. There you go. That makes it a little harder.
Uh huh.
I don't know.
Oh, so combine the game kind of with the skills competition.
Yeah. You make it a little more interesting. Or okay. We'll go like the old Wayne Gretzky hockey for the N64. Guys got to play with like massive helmets or something, and like you make it like an All-Star Game, but it's also like incredibly silly.
let's talk about the draft before we get into really talking about Caps World. Ovechkin stole the show Friday night. You wanted to check his Instagram every 2 seconds to see what he was going to put out there. And as we saw at the end of the show, I think they kind of tipped their hat to him because he toasts the camera as he was coming in. They showed that wrapping up the show, and he's got a Blue Moon beer in a glass. So you can tell he was definitely enjoying the night. And what?
A little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
He was enjoying the night, and he's making the most of it, though. A lot of the guys there looked really bored, but Ovechkin was, you know, you could tell he was bored, but he wasn't being shy about it. So Ovechkin doing a cool thing, and plus he kept, you know, we all thought he was just drunk and being funny about the whole car thing, but then it turns out he was actually trying to do a really nice thing and get a car for is this the same girl that went on a date with him at the beginning of the season?
Yeah. He ended up getting a car in the end. Hanna was able to get a car to him, and he ended up donating it to the Washington Ice Dogs Special Hockey Program, which is based in Crofton, Maryland.
And what they do is they have kids with special needs, and they put them on the ice and kind of teach them how to play hockey, and it's, you know, kind of like their own league type of thing, and it helps them, you know, get through whatever they're going through at the time. It sounds like a really nice program, and obviously this had an effect on Ovechkin, meeting her before the season started, still being in contact with the organization, still in contact with her family, and here he is trying to get a car throughout the draft, and then he tries to get it within the game, still can't get it, and the Honda people were pretty much like, why do you want this car so bad? You can buy like one of these a month.
He was just being a weirdo, but he actually had like a noble thing in mind, and then but he didn't tell anybody, and that's why everyone thought he was just, well, not only drunk but also like just freaking weird. And so when it turned out to be that he actually had this like really noble gesture in mind, and they're like, oh, all right, well, let's get involved in this. Let's sort of hook him up with a car and let's do the right thing.
And another thing that he did, I don't know if you noticed this either, but after the skills competition, a lot of people were like, they were throwing out pucks or whatever to fans. Ovi was like handing out his sticks and like other parts of his equipment. A lot of guys were walking back with a lot of like their pads and everything and their sticks, but Ovi was giving everything away.
Well, he's got enough money; he can buy his own.
Maybe he's realized that in his old age.
No,
like,
I mean that the one thing he's always done is much. As people want to give him crap, he's always been great with the fans throughout his entire career, and I think that he knows what he's doing. I mean, I think it was when he first came over in his first couple of years, he talked about how when he was a kid, he always wanted players to sign stuff of his, and so he knows what, you know, kids want him to come in and sign autographs and get free stuff and things like that. And so I think he definitely loves playing the game, but also being sort of a figure that kids know they can look up to. And that he'll give back to them. Obviously, he gives them a car. He'll give back to them as much as he can.
Yeah, he's really good with kids and the kid fans ever since he's come over. I mean, for the adult fans, he kind of has been a little wary about signing stuff for them and kind of was a dick to me once. But
he talked about – yeah, I mean, I had interaction with him where I just got a picture and he was
– not really into it.
Well, yeah, but like I remember also when he first came over, the same thing. He was talking about how adults – I couldn't tell if it was a joke or if it was legit, but like he'd made a comment about how adults just look to get things signed or whatever and then sell them on eBay. He's not about that.
Yeah, I completely understand where he's coming from. I mean, like he people pay $250 to get his autograph at an autograph signing. I mean, he's not going to give it away for free if you hang out outside of Kettler. But I understand what he's doing for kids. I get where he's coming from. I just wish he would have signed my friggin', you know, plaque. But whatever. But let's talk about actual hockey here. The Caps have had two games since the All-Star break, up against Columbus and then welcoming Pittsburgh, the Penguins, back to D.C. on Wednesday night. These games, you know, we talked about it last year with Adam Oates, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. I'm thinking this is more, you know, like the Hulk and was it Banna, Eric Banna? That's him, right? That's the Hulk.
No, that's the actor slash the Hulk.
Oh, so that was the old Hawk. So that's
No, that's the actor who played him in the crappy
One. The guy who does it now is who?
Bruce. Well, no, the Hulk is Bruce Banner.
Bruce Banner. Sorry.
Yeah. But
everyone is like going
actually,
crazy.
Avengers is on FX right now.
Is it really?
I was watching it while I was writing my notes for tonight's show.
Mark Ruffalo. That's him. That's right. Mark, it's so Bruce Banner. Sorry, all you comic book people out there.
How dare you get that wrong?
I know. If you guys want to talk about wrestling, I could school you guys. I just don't know comics. So let me see.
You
like,
leave that to me.
Yeah, you could do that. I'll handle that.
I'll take care of that, man.
Yeah. So that's what we were talking about with Adam Oates, that you never know who you're really going to get. This week, it seems as if the Capitals are kind of still in that place up against Columbus. They looked very sluggish. They looked like they weren't really focused, that they didn't want to be there. And then up on Wednesday night up against Pittsburgh, they come out flying, and they're going crazy, and they're looking great. They're looking like a major contender, that like these guys are going to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, looking great, but I want to chalk that game up against Columbus to a team that was still on vacation mode. As crazy as that is, because these guys are athletes, they play, you know, they've had a week off, they've vacationed, whatever. But I want to say, like, the first day back at work, they just weren't feeling it. That's what I want to chalk this one up to. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but these two games are, like, such different spectrums of what this team can do.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much all there is to say. I mean, the first game back was just – it was incredibly sloppy. Yeah, the ice was really crappy in Columbus, but it didn't seem to affect the Blue Jackets players from scoring. And so I think that they came out – the defense was horrible. They got a decent amount of offense going, but that was a game that you can definitely chalk up as one that they threw away. They should have had an opportunity to go out and win that game. They just not played well enough in that one. And I think a lot of it has to do with the first game back from a break, but also – they're professionals. It shouldn't be that big. I mean, it wasn't that long of a break. They should be able to come out and play a strong game and play better than that. And they weren't able to do it. So the Columbus game is such a throwaway in that four game losing streak. Hopefully, the four game losing streak looks more like a blip in the radar in the end. Because if they go on and they win, let's say 7 of the next 9 games, that four game losing streak is so minor in the end. And it's when you go and you have the amazing December and beginning of January that they had, and then you have 4 losses in a row, but then you come out and you completely destroy the Penguins, and then if you go on to win 7 of the next 9, it's looking like that 4 game was just, they had a little you know, a time. I think they just got ahead of themselves a little bit, but it looks like they just kind of, you know, crapped the bed a little bit and then got back to business. And hopefully, I think that's what it is going to be. It seems like this team is the type with Trotz at the helm that they know how to keep these guys going and keep them motivated. And I think to some extent, when you win those kind of games and you win consistently like that, you're going to sort of get ahead of yourself and think you're better than you are to some extent. And I think that's how they ended up losing those 4 games, is they, instead of going the extra mile in every game, they started, well, we can just sort of sit back a little bit. And instead of jumping in and winning that puck, I'll sit back and let the guy get it. And then I'll just be able to play defense and get it back for him or something like that. And it ended up not working so well. And so I do think this team's going to turn around and start playing better as we go forward.
To me, it seems as if, besides it just being, you know, from coming back from the break or whatever, I feel as if, like, if Ovi isn't really feeling it that night, then it kind of rubs off on the rest of the team. Like, when he's up against the Penguins, there's a lot of fire in Ovi. I mean, he's definitely,
it wasn't
like,
just him, though.
Oh, yeah. Because he's the captain, I feel as if it's just kind of like, look, we're back from break. This is Columbus. They don't really view Columbus as a threat. If it's somebody like Pittsburgh or somebody who's higher than them in the standings, it kind of feels as if, like, everybody puts a little bit more emotion into it, and it's got to, you know, start with Ovechkin. I mean, he loves playing the Penguins. He loves going against, you know, Crosby and those Penguins. He loves that rivalry. I feel as if, like, they feed off of Ovi. Ovi feeds off the team, kind of like a back and forth. But when it is somebody like the Penguins, especially this season, because the Caps are undefeated against the Penguins this season.
Not only undefeated, they have yet to give them a goal.
Oh, I didn't know that at all. That's
wasn't the 3-0. I was out of town, the 3-0 shutout, but I was here for the 4-0 shutout last night.
And so that's something that hopefully coming into the stretch here that they can kind of focus on and know that, you know, every game matters, and they, every single point they can get is something big, because I mean they're 6 points behind the number 1 in the Metropolitan Division, the Islanders. They're making ground on the Penguins. I mean, for the Penguins to leave DC with no points at all is huge in the standings right now. I mean, this is the point in the season where you got to start, you know, scoreboard watching a little bit. At least fans do, maybe not the players, but everything's going to start really coming down to, all right, mathematically, how does this team do this? I mean, look at, if you watch the Kings Blackhawks that followed the Caps Penguins last night, that felt like a playoff game already. You could tell these guys were fighting for points and they wanted to go. So as we come down to the home stretch here, I'm hoping that we're going to see these Capitals become more consistent. I'm hoping they realize that every single game matters, every 2 points matter, and not going to overtime has got to be key, because you can't give...
That would be nice.
You can't give all these other teams these freebies. They're going to say the same thing about the Capitals. You can't give all these freebie points out to people. It's going to ruin your chances of making any kind of ground. And maybe the other thing I want to bring up too is the penalty minutes the Capitals have been getting has been just atrocious.
Yeah, that is bad.
They've been taking dumb, stupid penalties. They, like, easy penalties that they could just avoid, but for some reason they are letting all these penalties go, and they're letting people hang around and get to overtime and get freebie points. They need to strengthen all of that up, and they need to get more discipline with all these penalties. What is your view on that?
I completely agree, and I was kind of surprised they had Tom Wilson play in the game against the Penguins, just because he took so many penalties, or not so many, but he took too many penalties in the game against Columbus, and is sort of, you're wondering, at one point are they going to pull him aside and be like, knock it off, stop doing that. I mean, look at the game last night. Yes, they were up 4-0. However, why are they taking penalties with, what was it, 2 minutes or under? No, it was like 120 something left to go in the game. Ward took a freaking penalty. I think to some extent it's a laziness factor. When you're getting tripping and hooking penalties, I think some of it's a laziness factor. You're not moving your legs. Instead, you're just reaching out with the stick and trying to make a play instead of keeping your legs going and being able to play the body more. And, to some extent, last night they got some penalties that were a little BS. A couple of penalties that should have been called on the Penguins that weren't called. Shocker there. But a lot of the time they are making stupid plays and being somewhat lazy and not, moving their legs and constantly moving, and they get themselves in trouble by doing that. And so it's certainly something they're going to have to work on, because when it comes to the playoffs, provided they make the playoffs, that you can't be taking these stupid penalties because teams are going to make you pay for it.
Yeah, absolutely. These penalties are going to come back and bite them. And Joel Ward's been known to be, a guy who sits in the penalty box a lot. Nicholas Backstrom, he's taken some dumb ones as well. How dumb was the friggin' penalty against Ovi for the Penguin that ran into him?
You know what? That's a legit penalty. How dare he not get knocked over by a guy who's trying to check him? That son of a... No, that was the dumbest... You're 2 minutes for not falling over correctly. Like, what the hell was that? That was the worst call.
That was bad. That was a blind ref right there. That was a really bad call.
That guy fell down hell. I don't know. You hit him.
I gotta say, usually when Lotta drops the gloves, I'm not too sure about what he's gonna do, but he looked great in his fight last night. He was really taking it to that Penguin, and you could tell he was having some trouble, and he pretty much took his jersey off.
Beat the crap out of that guy.
Lotta and Wilson, these guys are best buds, living together. They're in the penalty box together. But man, they can throw some fists. They know not to do that all the time. But when it's time to drop the gloves, they'll do it. And they'll kick your ass.
Apparently, there's a couple of games ago Wilson got his. There's been a couple of games Wilson's got his, handed to him and made a couple of mistakes. But last night, Wilson just wasn't having it, and Lotta wasn't having it, and the Penguins were getting a little pissy when they were getting down by a bunch. There was one where Letang hit Brower twice, and then Brower kind of bumps him, and Letang goes down, and all the Penguins are like, how dare you? And, the one dude's like freaking just punching Brower while he's on the ice, and I was like, what the hell is that? And then I think Brower got a penalty for roughing, and I was like, how about you got a penalty for getting mugged? You're playing the Penguins, and so sometimes the refs are a little lenient, but some of these calls, some of the penalties are legit, and Lotta and Wilson are certainly doing a great job of sticking up for the guys, but the penalties they got to fix, and Wilson, I don't like Wilson fighting as much as he does. I do like that he backed down. I think was it the Lotta fight? Or he backed down from fighting Downey. We ended up finding that other idiot. The dude who, Kirk down on Ovechkin because he didn't fall down when he hit Ovechkin. So, I would prefer Wilson not fight quite as much because you want to see him start working more on his offensive game.
Sure.
And not just punching guys in the face.
Yeah, you do want to see that. But Wilson, he is a great powerhouse. It's good to see him. I don't consider him a goon, but he knows when to drop the gloves, and he knows how to fight. So I like seeing that. The worst part about watching that Caps-Penguins game, though, is the NBC announcers. Pierre, of course, not a very big fan favorite with the DC crowd, the Caps fans. But when he in the middle of the game, he just goes, oh, the Capitals look great. They're playing deep into the zone, but they're going to be a contender. That style of offense is very Penguin-like. So you're saying that they're going to make it because they're playing more like the Penguins.
Well, of course, because he loves Crosby. I did find it interesting that, Pierre McGuire was saying a ton of nice things about the Caps. And I was kind of wondering if I had slipped into another universe or something where he actually says nice things about other teams that aren't the Penguins. So it was a little weird. But, at one point he called the Caps third line a fair Ward and, the best third line in hockey. And I was like,
whoa.
Okay, now I know I'm, dreaming or something that he's saying that nice to think with. Those guys have been playing great. But, yeah, it was definitely – he's always going to be a Penguin fanatic and be a Crosby lover and that kind of thing. So, screw him.
Screw him. I love it.
Screw McGuire, Milbury. These guys suck.
All right. Well, not too many games going on. Anything else we got to talk about in Caps World?
Well, first we have to give a little congratulations to Nicholas Backstrom on getting his 400th NHL assist in that loss to Columbus. So congratulations again to him. Ovechkin is actually taking the NHL lead in goals with 29. In the Caps' last five games, he has 7 goals, of which 3 of those games being 2-goal games. So the Ovechkin is certainly tearing it up. I think he has, like, in January, he has, like, 7 – no, it can't be 17. But he's got double-digit goals, and no one else in the NHL does. So Ovechkin has certainly turned it up in the past month or so. And finally, the Caps recalled defenseman Cameron Schilling on Tuesday, and I cannot for the life of me think of why he was recalled. I mean, unless Hillen's going to get a night off, it doesn't certainly seem to be the case. And I know Schmidt's out for the foreseeable future, and Orlov's not ready yet, but Hershey's not that far away. If someone goes down in practice, you can bring him up. But I know you always want to have a healthy seventh defenseman, but I don't know. Whatever. I mean, Schilling's
it seems as if they're kind of just sharing the wealth, too, not having Oleksii up here not playing the whole time. It's kind of just like,
why not bring him back?
They did for a little bit, then they sent him back down.
Instead of Schilling, like, Schilling's a younger guy, needs to keep playing. Whatever.
I don't know. Maybe it's a money thing, contract thing. I don't know.
You need some money? Trade Erskine and I don't know, somebody else. They got some money problems coming up in the offseason, but we'll worry about that in a couple of months.
Yeah, there's a lot of free agents.
Worry about that in June when the season's officially over for them.
That's very true.
They would have. Never mind. Moving on.
Yeah. All right. So if that's it for Caps World, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Down on the Farm. But before we do that, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, here we go. We are down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Rock-a-doodle Dan, tell me what's going on down on the farm.
You need to settle down. You need to stop hitting the whiskey or the tequila before the show. That's what needs to happen.
Didn't you remember that movie, Rock-a-doodle-doo? It's from 91. It was an Elvis chicken. You too young for
God,
that?
Oh my God, I kind of do know what you're talking about.
Rock-a-doodle.
I think I vaguely remember what you're talking about, but you stop what you're doing. Let's see. In the past week, Hershey went 2-0 with wins over Lehigh Valley, and that was like 7-2 whooping last Wednesday, and they beat Binghamton. The Bears are currently first in the East Division with a record of 23-13-5, good for 51 points. 1 point up on second place Wilkes-Barre Scranton, though Hershey has played 3 less games, so they only have a chance to increase their lead by a bit. The Bears play next on Friday in Lehigh Valley, Saturday at home at the Giants Center against Syracuse, and again on Sunday at home against Norfolk.
And Sunday is Hershey Park Pass Day, so if you go, you get a free pass at Hershey Park for the summer.
I don't know what time that game is, but you better hustle back.
I know, right?
Time for the Super Bowl. Let's see. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays at 1-3 with a win over Orlando. South Carolina are currently 5th in the East Division with a record of 18-17-7, good for 43 points. 15 back of first place Florida, so they need to certainly start going on quite the winning streak if they want to get to the top of the East Division. The Stingrays play next on Friday in Orlando. They don't play again until we talk next week, so they just have one game between now and when we air again next week. Now, going back north, the AHL All-Star Game was also last weekend, with 3 Bears representing the Eastern Conference in Tim Kennedy, Connor Carrick, and Philip Grubauer. Kennedy got no points, while Carrick ended up with 1 assist, and Grubauer ended the night with 8 saves on 12 shots. Now, while those goalie numbers would normally suck, it's an All-Star Game, no one cares, no one plays defense, who gives a crap? But I just thought it was interesting to say. In some rather major AHL news, they announced today that they will create a Pacific Division next season. In doing so, 4 East Coast AHL franchises will be relocating to different cities in California.
Really?
With one of them being somewhat local, and the Norfolk Admirals will be purchased by the Anaheim Ducks and will be relocating from Southern Virginia to San Diego.
Whoa.
The other teams will be relocating from Glens Falls, New York to Stockton, Oklahoma City in obviously Oklahoma to Bakersfield, Manchester, New Hampshire will be relocating to Ontario, that again being California, and the Worcester, Massachusetts team, the Sharks, will be relocating to San Jose. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Wow, lots of stuff going on.
I never went and saw a Norfolk or Norfolk game. But it's kind of crazy that they're just going to up and move 4 franchises from their cities. Now, maybe some of these are struggling to get attendance or whatever reason, but it's kind of crazy that they're going to be doing that. And now 3 of these teams are owned by their NHL franchise, so it's not the biggest deal in the world. Anaheim does have to purchase the Admirals from whoever owns them now. But that's pretty crazy that all these teams are suddenly going to be out in California. I think it's the Sharks, the Kings, the Oilers, and I want to say the Flame. No.
So they kind of want to move these closer to the big leagues, the big league cities.
Or is it five teams? I don't know. Yeah, they want to. I mean, the idea is that they're moving them closer to their NHL teams. I think one of them's in Canada, though. So it's definitely closer, but it's a little crazy. But like, it didn't make sense having the LA Kings minor league affiliate being all the way in New Hampshire, or the San Jose teams being all the way in Worcester.
So, yeah, I mean, think about it, the Reading Royals. I mean, never ever would a goalie or somebody go from the ECHL to the NHL automatically. But like the LA Kings,
that's not even that far.
Yeah, well, like the LA Kings, that was their ECHL team was Reading.
That's a little further.
So like Jonathan Quick came from the Reading Royals. So think about going from Reading to LA. That's a bit crazy. I mean, you get at least the AHL a little bit closer to your hometown team. You're going to have, like, the Caps fans going up to Hershey Bears games. You're going to have Shark fans going to wherever, that hockey team's going to go to. I mean, it makes business sense, but also makes sense for just, to keep your team healthy and having options of, minor league guys coming up. Makes a lot of sense. I feel bad for, places like Worcester and Norfolk, but, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I can't believe they haven't done this earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of been somewhat confused as to why the AHL teams are so far, especially across the country. To go back, Norfolk was affiliated with Anaheim. What team is in Glens Falls? I don't even know where Glens Falls is. who they're affiliated with. Manchester's with LA, the Kings, the Worcester. Sharks are with San Jose. Oklahoma City is
I saw Worcester last year up against the Bears.
The Oklahoma City Barons or the Edmonton Oilers affiliate. So you have the Oilers team going all the way down to Oklahoma. Okay. And I don't know who the other one is. I can't find it on this stupid thing. But I don't know who that would be with. But either way, the point is that they're all going to be a lot closer to their NHL affiliate instead of being all the way across the freaking country. But then there's also a thing like the Blackhawks affiliate is in Rockford, Illinois, but then they also have an AHL team in Chicago. Although I think it's just outside the city, but it's weird how some of these things work out.
Yeah.
Well, Florida's is in San Antonio. That's not that close. Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and San Antonio, Texas. But, whatever. Syracuse, New York, and Tampa Bay. So some of them are now going to be closer. Oh, it's the Canucks. Okay, so Glens Falls, New York is the Canucks. That makes sense.
Yeah. All right, so I think that's it for what's going on down on the farm. So now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We are going around the NHL. The Capitals are staying busy. They just had Wednesday night rivalry night, but plenty of other stuff is going on around the NHL. Somebody has to have been suspended during the All-Star game for slashing or hitting someone in the head with a puck or hitting a ref or something.
If we call that taking a shot.
Anyway, Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, let's start with longtime New Jersey and momentarily St. Louis goalie Martin Brodeur officially retired from the NHL on Thursday and was named senior advisor to the Blues general manager. He retires having spent 21 years in the NHL, 20 of them with the Devils. He played 1,266 games in the NHL, getting 691 wins and 125 shutouts, all NHL records. He also won three Stanley Cups with the Devils. Dallas signed forward Travis Moore into a two-year extension. Terms of the deal were not released. Pittsburgh acquired forward Maxime Laperriere from St. Louis for forward Marcel Gauche. Now, the Penguins have Steve Downey, who we already know is a douche. They got Laperriere now, who is apparently a bit of a goon. And didn't they have Dan Carcillo at one point trying out with them at the beginning of the season or in the offseason? So are the Penguins just trying to acquire all the douchebags in the league? Is that the plan?
It's kind of the thing.
Sean Avery back from retirement or whatever he's doing right now? I don't understand the Penguins. Anyways, LA plays center and well-known party boy Mike Richards on waivers on Monday. He went unclaimed and will report to their AHL affiliate in Manchester, although as we know now, just for the time being. Philadelphia forward Zach Ronaldo was suspended for 8 games for charging and boarding Pittsburgh defenseman Chris Letang last Tuesday. Ronaldo's an idiot and deserved this suspension. The Islanders' Cal Clutterbuck was fined $2,000 for diving slash embellishment slash cheating on Wednesday. He's an idiot too, you big cheater. Now, you're going to like this. The World Cup of Hockey will be returning in 2016. Similar to the Olympics, 8 teams will be split into 2 groups, playing a round-robin tournament to be the top 2 teams in their group. Now, the top 2 teams will move on to a single semifinal game, with the winning teams playing in a best-of-3 final round. All of the games will be played at the Air Canada Center in Toronto between September 17th and October 1st, this being again in 2016. The countries being represented will be Canada, the USA, the Czech Republic, Finland, Russia, Sweden. Now, I know it's not a country, but a team of European players and a team consisting of North American youngsters. What? On the last two? Like, okay, European players, I get it. So you have, like, the other kind of Slovakia and whoever else kind of combining their guy. Maybe you have somebody from, like, France and Great Britain, whatever, Switzerland. But the team of North American youngsters, these college kids, is this miracle all over again? You know, I don't know, whatever. That's kind of interesting. But I don't like that it's right before the season starts, though.
Yeah, it's a little
weird.
If you
have someone get hurt in this thing, I'm going to be pissed.
Well, look at Orlov. He was in Worlds, and he still is yet to be back.
He got hurt. Now he still hasn't played. Damn it.
Did you see anything about how, I don't know if this is true or not, but the NHL is thinking about incorporating advertisements on jerseys during the World Cup?
Oh. If it's just the World Cup, I don't care. Because they do that in soccer in Europe or European football, and they do it in the KHL, I believe. I don't care. If it's just a World Cup, if you start doing it in the NHL, I'm pissed.
Yeah, I'm hoping it doesn't, you know, have a slippery slope of making its way.
Came out and said they're never going to do that.
I hope not, but like if you're doing a World Cup and like they're funding it or whatever, I can understand, you know, trying to get some starting this up and getting some promotions out of it to kind of like, you know, weigh the costs.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine if it's just a World Cup, but if you don't do anything, I mean, remember years ago, Major League Baseball came out with this, we're going to put advertisements, I think it was Spider-Man 2. They're going to do all these advertisements on like the bases and home plate. And fans were just like, what the f-? – and flipped out about the whole thing. So if they tried it in the NHL, I imagine a lot of people are going to be pissed. But, yeah, I mean, if they don't do it in the World Cup, who cares? I mean, it's not that big of a deal as long as it's not – it doesn't go too far and they don't try and bring it to the NHL. And finally, in addition to the World Cup of Hockey, the NHL announced the outdoor games for next season. Now, aside from the Winter Classic being back in Boston, which I find interesting – it'll be at Gillette Stadium, which is kind of in Boston, but not really, with the Bruins going up against the Montreal Canadiens. Like you had talked about it last week, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
That
game is going to be intense, and someone's going to get punched in the face. we will also see 2 Stadium Series games with the Minnesota Wild hosting the Chicago Blackhawks on Sunday, February 21st, on the TCF Bank Stadium on the campus of the University of Minnesota.
Interesting.
Why is it Minnesota and Chicago? Do they have that big of a rivalry?
I think we kind of realized with this past Winter Classic, you don't really need a rivalry.
Oh, bull crap. I mean, fine, whatever. I mean, it being on a campus, a college campus, that'll be kind of cool. And then the second game will be on Sunday, February 27th, the following weekend. It'll be the Colorado Avalanche hosting the Detroit Red Wings at Coors Field. That's the news from the past week in the NHL.
Those are going to be some super cold games, but definitely fun to watch.
Yeah. But then again, they had the one, what was it, last year they had Toronto and Detroit at the University of Michigan?
Yeah, I think it's Michigan, right?
And it was like snowing. The big house. Yeah, that probably was really freaking cold.
I bet.
Yeah, that was very, very chilly.
All right, well, I think that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. If you want to continue to talk Washington Capitals or the NHL, all you got to do is tweet to me or Coach Dan. You can follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me occasionally at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads. Brandon, have there been any new ones that you're interested in purchasing that are way too expensive?
Way too expensive, but I did see the January Slapshot bobblehead. And again, it is him. You know, there's a ball dropping behind him. He's in a tux. He looks dapper. But this only leads me to believe.
Can't do it.
He's going to be Cupid next month. A leprechaun after that, and then in April, as I've said it before, he will be Jesus.
That's gonna go over just swimmingly with the religious audience.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Washington Capitals. That's not going to go well.
Yeah, and let me just tell you, I love the fact that you work with Capitals Outsider. I think you do some great work on there, but I've been actually reading a lot more Capitals Outsider this week, and I just want to put it out there. Those guys are really good. A lot of great content. A lot of fan-run websites, you know, are out there, but Capitals Outsider has a lot of great content, a lot of great writers. It's nice to get a different aspect on the Caps world than, you know, just listening to, you know, just Dan and I. So it's really a good place.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. Come to us first, and then we'll tell you to go to Capitals Outsider, and then you can check them out. But yeah, really cool website. Definitely check those guys out. So, also websites to check out. Tell me to go this way.
I usually set you up,
but this is
the way we went. You do it, Brandon. Why don't you tell me about Brando Cash Entertainment?
Yeah. So go to BrandoCash.com. You'll get information about What the Puck, as well as all the other podcasts we do from Brando Cash Entertainment. You can also check out some videos and photos that we've done in the past. Go over to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. You'll get notified whenever a new podcast comes out. You can also go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. And whenever a new episode comes out of What the Puck, you will be the first to know. You can also follow us on Twitter at WTP_podcast. Now, we give you the show for free. You guys download, you stream, you listen on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio completely for free. So all we are asking for you in return is to help us build this show to even bigger and better heights, okay? So we need you guys to be social, all right? You need to post links to the show, telling other people to listen. We need that word-of-mouth movement. We have done we've gotten great numbers of downloads the last couple weeks, and we're really happy with it, but we want to continue to grow and we want to reach more of an audience. And the only way we can do that without, you know, putting out hundreds of dollars in ads is for you guys to just tell people about the show. That'll be a huge help to us. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you are social on the web. Let people know I'm a Caps fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So coming up within the next couple days, we've got a few games to talk about. Saturday, January 31st, the Capitals are up in Montreal, up against the Canadiens. That game is at 1 o'clock, and that will be on Comcast Sportsnet as well as the NHL Network nationally. On Sunday, February 1st, Super Bowl Sunday, the Capitals will be at home in D.C. up against the Blues. That one is going to be a slobber knocker if you're a JR fan out there. That game also at 1 o'clock, and that will be on the NBC Sports Network. Coach Dan, who you got in the Super Bowl this year?
Oh, man. I kind of was going for the Seahawks at one point just because I just hate Belichick. The guy's just such a smug douche. But what the heck is his name? The running back. Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
He's such a clown. Like, the guy is just such an idiot. That whole thing was so stupid. And so, I'd rather the Seahawks win, but I don't want him to do well in the game. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, I don't know. I'd like to see at least a good game.
Just a good game.
And last year, Seattle just walked all over Denver. So, yeah. I want to see a good game. I want to see an exciting game. And I want Marshawn Lynch to do poorly.
Well, this is very interesting. It's Star-Lord versus Captain America right now.
I saw that too.
Yeah, yeah.
That was pretty cool.
T-Fury put out a really cool t-shirt I shared on Facebook, and it's on the Calls Facebook page. But it's a helmet that looks like Captain America's helmet and a Star-Lord mask with like a grill of a football helmet on it too. Really cool looking. But if you want to hear my thoughts on the game, go check out the Call podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Me and my buddy Josh kind of break down the game a little bit, talking about who we like. My argument is, if the Patriots don't want to go down in history as nothing but a bunch of cheaters, they have to win this game on Sunday. Otherwise, they are just cheaters for no reason. So listen to the call, and you can hear my in-depth talk about that. One more game before Coach Dan and I talk again will be on Tuesday, February 3rd. The Capitals still in D.C., welcoming the Stanley Cup champion L.A. Kings. This is going to be a great game to watch. That game is at 7 o'clock. Comcast Sportsnet is where you can view it if you're not going to the game. Coach Dan, of those three games that I talked about, I think the Capitals and Kings, that's going to be my pick of the week to watch, even if you're not a Caps fan or a hockey fan at all. I think that one's going to be great. It's going to be a great test for the Capitals to see where they want to go in the future.
Yeah, I mean, although the Kings are not having a great season right now, so I mean, they're coming along better now recently, but I think they're on the outside of the playoffs looking in at the moment. So I think it's definitely going to be a test. I mean, I think any game that you go into with a team that's fighting, not only fighting for a playoff spot, but in a playoff spot. You know, you go up against Montreal is doing well. You go up against St. Louis is doing well. And the Kings, the next two games are going to be rather telling to see just how good this team is, how good this team is, and if they're prepared to go into these sort of, you know, sudden death playoff games. Should they make it? And so I think all three games that are coming up are going to be very, very tough.
Very tough, but that's what we want. That's what we want to see.
You got to show you're ready.
Yeah, absolutely. So everybody, we got three games coming up for the Capitals. Two of them are at home. One's in Canada, in Montreal. So you know you guys got to scream it loud. You got to fill the phone booth up. You got to get everybody chanting. We got to support our team together and everybody say, let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.